Welcome back, everyone. We are continuing our conversation with Mr. Jake Moore, who has recently been selected as the Hastings High School Alumni of the Year by the Hastings Alumni Association.
Now, I could tell you how I got my job.
Please. Okay. Yes.
Okay, so 1971, I'm working on my master's in history at River Falls, and my goal is I'm going to get my master's, I'm going to go to continue on, I'm going to get my PhD, I want to be a college professor. So I'm working at the Beer Stube at nights, not every night, but I'm working at the Beer. I worked there for 10 years. And in comes a teacher by the name of John Hopkins. He was a Phi Ed teacher.
Of course. Great athlete, just like you.
Thank you. So he comes in and he says, hey, and I'm tending bar. And he says, you going to apply for Joe Novak's job? And I said, why? What do you mean? Well, he's leaving pretty soon and they need somebody. And I said, really? So I went home, told Cindy, I said, I think I'm going to go up and find out what this is about. So I put a suit and tie and that stuff. I go up to the junior high, walk in the door, Skip Linneman's there. I said, hi, great line now. Hi, my name is Jake Moore. I want to apply for Joe Novak's job. And he says, no. He says, you don't talk to me. You got to talk to H.G. Anderson. He's assistant souk over at the high school. So I jump in my car and I drive over there, park, walk in there, go into his office. I said, same great line. Hi, I'm Jake Moore. I want to apply for Joe Novak's job. He said, we don't have time for an interview. We want you to start today.
What?
I said, start today? I said, I'm going to school. He says, you want to be a student or you want a job? I said, I'll take the job. So then I jumped in my car. I ran back over to River Falls. I just started my last quarter over there. I got 90% of my tuition back. Drove back to the junior high, went up to Skip Linneman. He took me down to Joe Novak's classroom, and lo and behold, that was his last day. The kids are in there eating cupcakes and drinking juice and this stuff, and Joe gets a book. He comes out, and he shows me the book. He says, here, you got to cover this chapter, this chapter, this chapter. He hands me the book. He turns, and he walked right out the door. Skip Linneman takes me in, and he says, this is your new teacher, Mr. Moore. And there's about three kids in there I knew because they were younger brothers and sisters of guys I'd graduated with stuff. So that's how I got the job. Now, once again, all timing. It's timing and meant to be. I think it was meant to be. So,
Wow. Yeah,
unbelievable. Because I've sat on so many interview committees. I know how hard it is. All the questions that are asked and stuff. But mine was timing. So,
how long were you a teacher in the Hastings public school system?
I taught 8th grade history for 15 years. And then Lenny Schwartz asked me if I wanted to be a middle school counselor. And I did that for 18 years. Okay. And the reason why I went back to get my counseling was because they had made cuts. And the next time they're going to make cuts was in a couple of years. And I was on the bottom. I was the youngest history teacher, middle school or senior high or whatever. And so I went back to protect myself, and I went back to get the quickest thing or whatever. I went back, first of all, for special ed because it didn't take as many credits, and then I didn't care for that. My wife suggested, she was a counselor at the time, she suggested counseling. I took it. I liked it. And just when I needed to do an internship, the job opened up. Dick Hegeman retired, and Lenny Schwartz asked me if I wanted it, and I said, I'll take it. And so for the next 18 years, I was a middle school counselor. And then during this time, I was able to observe the growth and the changes in kids, and I work 2 weeks a day at Vermillion State Bank, and I see these kids that I used to have. I umpired slow pitch softball for 44 years, former students, former athletes, and I coached. And anyway, I saw tremendous growth in kids, and some of the kids who had trouble academically and you know, really didn't like school that much, today I see them coming in the bank, and they own their own business. They're successful business. They've got people working for them. As a counselor, I started getting into the second generation of kids, too. And I saw parents come back that were disruptive and didn't like school and didn't get along. And they were some of the best parents that we had. They just turned out. And that was really rewarding to see how well everybody had turned out. I remember once my son was playing hockey, and he had to get stitches. So I took him to the emergency room out here in Regina, and in comes Mark Roddy, Dr. Mark Roddy. And Dr. Mark Roddy, I coached him in ninth grade basketball, and here he is stitching up my son. So, I mean, there's just all kinds of things like that that are so rewarding to see how kids turn out.
Are kids the same as they always were, do you think?
You know, I've been gone so long now. This is the 18th year they've started school without me.
Okay.
And so I know what they were like 18 years ago. The ones I coached, and I kept coaching until 2017
yes.
in basketball, they were the same. I really can't say now, because I'm not involved with them now.
Right.
Although they do come in the bank, and I see them, and I ask them questions and play with them and have fun with them. And they're with their parents, so I don't know. It's a tough question.
How about your whole teaching career? Do you think kids remained the same, or how did they change?
Boy, I thought they did, and maybe it was because of me, because when I was in front of them in the classroom, I demanded that you're here to learn, and we weren't going to fool around. Although, you know, we had fun. I mean, look what I did as far as singing Happy Birthday. I don't know, were you in my class? Was I singing Happy Birthday then? I sang Happy Birthday, and then I'd get requests from teachers across the hall, and I have to leave my class. Well, I couldn't do that, but once I became a counselor, then I could leave my office and go sing Happy Birthday. Oh. And I got calls from grandparents that asked me to go sing to their kids, or I'd have maybe three or four girls that had a favorite class, and they'd come down and get me, can you come and sing second hour and home ec tomorrow, whatever. And so I'd come down and sing, and I had a whole routine. I had a disguise that kids, I'd come in and say, hey, are you embarrassed? Yeah. Well, I had a fake nose and glasses and eyebrows and mustache, and I'd sing Happy Birthday, and then the kids who I brought with me, when I'd have them magic wand, they'd blow out the candles, and then hit the lights, and then turn them off, and then I'd say, oh, we can't leave it like this, and I'd have the kids, okay, let's turn the lights back on, but we'd count backwards and go 3, 2, 1, and then he or she'd use the wand and go, suck it back on, and the kids would all pound on their desk like that. So it was a heck of a routine anyway, and I could have done it every single day that I was there. The very last day the kids were there, a mother called me and asked me to sing to her daughter, and the paper covered it. Star Gazette came in, and it's above the ladies' room. When you go in the beer stoop, you go in the restroom, above there, I'm singing to this Reese girl, and the headline is One for the Road. And so pretty cool that they covered that.
It's really sweet.
I had a lot of fun. And I guess, you know, I umpired for 44 years, and I gave Tootsie Rolls. Kids would chase the foul balls and home runs and bring them back. So, you know, the younger kids, they were really excited to do that. So, I mean, I was known for that. And I still have people come in the bank and want to know if I still sing Happy Birthday. Well, obviously I don't, but I might belt out a verse of it if it's their birthday. Or it was yesterday, then I belt out Happy Belated Birthday. And I remember once one girl went up to Mike Loudon, he was teaching across the hall, and he said, oh, Mr. Loudon, please don't tell Mr. Moore tomorrow's my birthday. Please don't tell Mr. Moore tomorrow's my birthday. And of course he did, and we did. So she got her wish anyway.
You know, how did you know it was time for you to retire? Because it sounds like you really loved your job so much.
I did. We had a thing called the Rule of 90. So your age plus a number of years. And I stayed 1 year longer than I needed to because the insurance plan that we had at that time would cover my wife all the way to Medicare. So I stayed then. But the best thing was I kept coaching.
You stayed engaged like that.
Yeah. So I continued to coach football. I continued to coach basketball. So they always say, you know, you don't retire from something. You should retire to something. And I retired, you know, to the coaching, although I had been doing it anyway. And then, of course, then I added the bank a year after that, too. So everything I did, I had so much fun at. And then I didn't have the long hours and things like that. So I just knew it was time. And I'd put in, you know, the Rule of 90, and I think in my mind I had it, that's what I was going to do anyway. And then, but I could still work with kids, be with my friends who are coaches, stuff like that too. Talking about kids and if they change or not, but I look at the kids that I've had down through the years, and I look at some of them: Sam Shane, CNN, Craig Kilborn, Ben Utek, Super Bowl ring. We had a couple that I had as students or mayors of Hastings talking to you across right now. I mean, but it's so much fun to see the success that those former students have had and how successful they are. And it's fun to run into them and see them. I got one good story about football. We had a tremendous run. We had Tom Dahlberg was a great coach. Terry Hartman's a great coach. Bob Majeski,
Jake Moore's a great coach.
Well, we had a great staff, okay? And Bob Majeski's in the Minnesota Hall of Fame.
It's pretty cool.
And we had, from about 92 to 2003, we had a great run of athletes and success. We won the conference 9 out of 12 years.
What was that about, do you think?
The parents gave us great athletes. And, I mean, just think back to back. At one time on one team, we had Danny Welch. He was All-State in 3 sports.
Can you imagine?
And
yeah.
The very next year, and on his same teams with him, was Adam Gerlach, who was All-State in 3 sports. Yep. Ben Utek was in there with, I mean, we had so many great, great athletes. And that's the luck of the birth. They were all here. And
at the same time, yeah.
And then we had great, like I said, great coaching staff. And I was open once out at Veterans Park. And I went up to the concession stand, and there's this little chunky ninth grader standing there. And he says, hey, you had a good football season this year. And I said, yeah, that was the first year that we'd played in the Dome, and we'd lost Eden Prairie, but we were a Final Four team, and that was in 97.
Wow.
He says, we're good. He says, you wait till we get there. I said, what? I said, do you know how hard it is to do that? You know, and here he is, a freshman, telling me, oh, yeah, you wait till we get there. So anyway, let's fast forward 4 years.
Well, that's okay.
4 years later, what is the day that we're playing for the state championship in 2001,
oh my gosh.
My job is to open up the school. So I came in the back way. I had to turn the alarms off. I walk up the steps. I go to the door, and I look up. And who's the kid standing at the door waiting to be let in? It's the same kid, Rick Honecke, who told me, you wait till we get there. And he's a prophet.
That's how prophets talk, too, I think.
But it gave me chills to think he said this 4 years ago, and why is he the first one at the door?
It's weird.
The prophecy.
That is the prophecy.
Oh. We were over at Stillwater, and we're practicing inside. They had a dome, and there was a kind of a crack in there, and the light came through, and it hit the exit sign, and we're preparing for the state championship game, and it flashed on the side of the wall, the exit sign, and it had a hashtag number one. That's what came out of that exit. And we're in the huddle, and I said, wait a minute. I had everybody look on the wall, and they all saw it. And that was that same year. So there's two big signs.
No kidding.
That, you know, that I remember about that championship. Woo! This is kind of interesting. So my last basketball game, Tommy Johnson comes. And Tom Johnson was on my very first ninth grade basketball team. And then he was a teacher, and he was an athletic director, yep. And he was really a good player for me, too. So anyway, when my game was over, my very last game, there's a lot of people that came back that was just great. And he came up to me and he said, Jake, I was at your first game. I thought I should be at your last game. I mean, here in 1971, he was at my first game. He was my best player, and there he was. He came back. I mean, what is that great? Furthermore, on the Johnson family, Gay Johnson was the athletic director, but originally he was a Phi Ed teacher. He was my ninth grade football coach and 10th grade basketball coach. So he coached me. I coached Tom. Tom coached my son, Mike. Mike coached his son, Jake. So there's five generations of our two
going
families.
Going back and forth.
That's what happens when you stay in one place for
it
a long
is.
Time. So, but it was great. I got to coach my son, Mike, in basketball, and Pat, both of them in football. My umpire and I got to umpire on both. They played on different teams, you know, but I had a chance to do that. That's what happens when you stay in one place a long time. So,
what can you say about what sports does for kids?
What I did, we really worked hard, and we prided ourselves on outworking the other teams. And I would talk to other ninth grade coaches basketball, and they would maybe practice an hour and a half or something like that. Well, we practiced twice that, and we would lose to them at the beginning of the year because some of them may have played club ball or something like that, so they were mid-season form when
sure.
we played them. But later on, we'd play them, and maybe after Christmas or something, we'd come back and we'd beat them. And the kids realized that we outworked them, and conditioning was a big thing. I thought I lost a game maybe my second year of coaching ninth grade football because we weren't in good enough shape, so I said, that's never going to happen again. So we did Raider Makers, and I ran them, and they dreaded it, but you know, they all get around, they're having beers wherever they are and that stuff, and they talk about those Raider Makers, and they talk about how hard I worked them. So that was really important, you know, the hard work. And matter of fact, I came back. I think we were the only ninth grade team for years and years and years to practice during Christmas. Nobody else would practice during Christmas. And we'd come back and beat teams that had beaten us earlier. And finally, it was one coach up at Woodbury said, well, what did you do? How did you guys improve? I said, well, we practiced during Christmas. And he says, that's it. We're practicing during Christmas now. But
he has the same voice as the prophet.
He's the prophet of Woodbury. So at Christmas, I would practice 3 hours. You know, people go, are you kidding me? But I change a drill every 10 minutes. And maybe if we scrimmage, I might do something for 15 minutes. But every 10 minutes was always something new. I didn't keep pounding them the same thing. It would change and change and change and change and like that. And I think they took that to heart, is that we know we're going to beat these teams next time we play them because we're going to be in better shape. And
it's a lot of it's mental, don't you think?
Yeah, yeah, the confidence that they have. And we played Woodbury 1 year in ninth grade. I had Jim Yans, and I had Steve Nielsen. Anyway, they went on to be state champs their senior year. But there was an injury, and we were running them so much that there was a timeout there, and three of their players actually sat down on the floor.
They were so tired.
They were so tired. And our kids saw that and said, look at that.
Yep.
And so they knew, yeah, what we were doing is paying off. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't let them mess around. I mean, we had fun, you know, when it was time to have fun. But we were there to work. We were there to get better. And then we can have fun afterwards if you want it, you know. But I think I just instilled that in them, what we were you're there for, and we're there to get better, and you're going to see it at the end of the road. And a lot of them have come back and told me that.
Don't you think, too, because you were a Hastings grad yourself, you had that Raider pride that you could instill?
I do, yeah. The thing that also helped me, too, is, you know, I coached a couple generations, or a generation of basketball, so I had their dads, and their dad said, this is what to expect when you get to ninth grade basketball or football, or whatever it was like this, and I think they told him, be prepared for this, and don't come home and complain about he's running you too hard or working you, or he yelled at you because you did something wrong, because he did it to me, and I was better for it, so...
So it's been a good run?
Oh, it's been a super run. Absolutely.
You have the luck of the Irish, Mr. Jake Moore.
I believe it. I'm truly blessed. I am.
You are. Tell us about your family, how they're doing.
Oh, real good. My oldest son, Mike, he's an elementary principal in Woodbury, and he lives in Stillwater. I coached against him. He's coached Stillwater ninth grade for 2 years, and we played each other four times during that time. So that was a great thrill.
Bet it was.
To do that, yeah. And he's got a daughter that is on the campaign trail. She works for there's a legislator, congresswoman in Kansas, and she's working for her. And she's 23 years old, lives in Lawrence, Kansas. And then he's got a son, Matt, her name is Jane. Matt is in Eau Claire now. He's a junior and plays baseball. When he played for Stillwater his sophomore year, they won the state baseball championship, and he was one of their pitchers, not one of their starting pitchers, but he pitched in a number of games, and he and another guy combined for a no-hitter in high school when he was a sophomore.
Wow.
So that was kind of cool. He's at Eau Claire, and he wants to be a teacher. And then Mike's wife, Julie, is also a teacher. She has English as a second language, so teaches kids fresh to this country anyway, and tries to get them acclimated and teach them. And she's up in the same school district. My son Pat lives in town, and he sells medical devices, works in the medical field, and ultrasound machines, things like that. His wife works over in Bayport. She assists the city manager over there. He's got three daughters. One's a freshman at Mankato, that's Maddie. He's got one that's a sophomore, that's Alex, and she plays soccer. And then Ava's the youngest, and she's the last of all our generations of going to see. She's an eighth grader down there, and I'm going to go watch her play volleyball this afternoon. My wife, Cindy, did a million things. She started off, she was a Phi Ed teacher in Red Wing. Then she became a counselor in West St. Paul. She taught special ed kids, too, Phi Ed, both in Red Wing and in West St. Paul, Henry Sibley School District, which is now Two Rivers. And then she became a school psychologist, and she was a school psychologist for the non-public schools in the area up there in West St. Paul. And then she was an elementary teacher in West St. Paul, and then she was hired at White Bear to be the curriculum guide. She was in charge of their curriculum, and she had taught every level, and she had taught, you know, special ed, and so she knew what the curriculum needed. And so the last 13 years she was up in White Bear, so she taught 5 years longer than I did, as a matter of fact. And she's doing well now.
Well, good. Well, yeah. Congratulations again on your wonderful honor, being named the Alumni of the Year for the Hastings Alumni Association. And it's just really great to get caught up with you. And I can't wait for our listeners to hear this interview and hear all the great memories that you shared with us. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it.
And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.